This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Here in the U.S., a federal holiday typically means a day off and a good excuse to eat and drink and shop. As years pass, the original motivation to commemorate a person or an event fades, and historical details get eclipsed by our personal memories and snapshots of holidays past. How does a federal holiday become a thing anyway? And why haven't more recent events, like September 11th, been reflected in the federal holiday calendar? Joining us to discuss the history and heritage of the 11 federal holidays currently on the books are two of the three hosts from the popular podcast Backstory with the American History Guys. Peter Onuf is Senior Research Fellow at Monticello, and he's the 18th century guy. Peter, welcome.
Hey, Virginia.
And Brian Ballow is a history professor at the University of Virginia. He is known as the 20th century guy. Brian, glad to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Well, Brian, I'm going to start with you. The most recent federal holiday added to the calendar celebrates the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What is the path that it took to become a holiday from advocacy to day off?
Virginia, it was a long and winding path. Shortly after Dr. King was assassinated in 1968, there were calls to celebrate his life and his contributions by making his birthday a national holiday. But in fact, that did not become the case until 1983 is when the legislation was passed.
And not even all states.
Yeah, 15 years. Well, all states, and we're not going to talk insurance here. We're going to talk federalism. And all states don't have to celebrate federal holidays. That's the rub. You know, even the definition of federal holiday is somewhat complicated. All it really means is that federal employees get the day off and get paid for it. It doesn't mean the states have to go along.
But, Brian, it's worth pointing out that a lot of federal holidays simply ratify days that were celebrated in the states. So that the state set the tone, and then the
there you
the
go again, Peter.
Yes,
there you go again. Such an 18th century guy. It's all states all the time for
That's
Peter. But
right.
I got to admit, he's absolutely right there.
Well, based on what has happened in the past, what are the chances that September 11th, for example, would someday have its own federal holiday?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of pushback to that, as you know, Virginia, and some of it we dare not actually say out loud, but I'll risk it, and that is there's a lot of money involved. Mm. Every holiday costs the federal government, what is it, $400 million?
$450
million
is
like
the
that. Yeah. So there's some talk about trading days. How about I'll give you one Labor Day and you give me one Patriots Day or whatever they're going to call it. Well, that's tough, and that's another reason I'd throw out, and that is you got two back-to-back weeks with holidays if you made September 11th a federal holiday.
Right, because you've got Labor Day right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, couldn't the argument be made that a lot of money gets spent on those holidays, on traveling, on food, certainly on alcohol?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, and for once I'm going to argue that it's not all about money. I think one of the problems with making 9/11 a national holiday is we tend not to celebrate tragedies. We celebrate the successful peace after tragic wars, as the case with Memorial and Veterans Day. But think about Pearl Harbor, right? We do have, we remember Pearl Harbor. It is formally a day of remembrance. And by the way, 9/11 is, too. It's a day of remembrance and service, and it's even been given a name by Congress. It's called Patriot Day, not to be confused with Patriots Day,
in
by
Massachusetts.
The way. But we tend not to celebrate tragedies, and there is much, much to be grateful for in the response to 9/11. Don't
right. That's interesting, Brian, about celebrating tragedy, which sounds a little bit oxymoronic in the first place. And I think that raises the issue of what we do on holidays, which is, of course, they've become institutionalized in our yearly calendar as, well, vacation time, celebration time, party time.
I buy mattresses, Peter.
And I'd just like to point out something from a deep historical perspective, and that is we do Thanksgiving, and that's a holiday that goes back to the very beginning, but we don't do fast days. Now, a fast day would be the sort of thing, you know, we all deny ourselves for an entire day. Then you'll get into the tragedy. What a tragedy a fast day would be.
You know, the fast days, aren't those generally religious holidays anyway? And let's consider how many of our federal holidays are stemmed in religious holidays.
Well, all I'm suggesting, Virginia, is that there were fast days early on in American history, of course, throughout the colonial period. And they'd come during wartime. Mm-hmm. And they would be moments of reflection and solemn contemplation. And the early Congresses had the occasional during the Revolution. There were fast days, days of remembrance. And we don't do that. And I think that's a major consideration.
Virginia, I told you Peter is a contrarian. We all worry about taking religion out of holidays like Christmas. Peter wants to put religion back into holidays that don't even exist.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, listen, I'll tell you the real problem with lots of holidays, and I'm not saying anything about 9/11 because I think this is an important day, and that is they were largely banished from the Elizabethan calendar in England because saints' days, when they were 100 saints' days during the year, would be days of revelry. And it was very hard to get anything done if people were always drunk. Our complaints about about Mondays, those long weekends, well, they used to talk about Saint Monday. Even if there wasn't a holiday, you'd take Monday off because you'd be partying all weekend. So I think that's to give a long historical perspective on this. And I think that's the deepest concern about 9/11 is, do we want to have a day that institutionalizes a break, a vacation, a celebration?
And it has to fall on an actual day, unlike, you know, the sort of Monday following 4th of July. Are there any other new holidays that are currently being suggested or seriously considered by lawmakers?
Oh, sure. There's always holidays in the hopper, as they say. There are those pushing for Cesar Chavez Day, the very effective labor organizer, agricultural labor. There are people pushing, as you know, Virginia, there are people pushing for making every even year, the first Tuesday in November, making it a holiday when we have federal elections, congressional and then presidential every 4 years.
As it is in many other countries, right?
Yeah, I think those are the two most likely candidates. Did I miss something, Peter?
Do we really want to celebrate Election Day, though, given the recent results?
Some people want more people to vote. Other people say, less people will vote. They'll all take a holiday then. They won't even bother.
I'm talking to two of the history guys anyway. Peter Onuf, the 18th century guy, is with us, and Brian Ballow, the 20th century guy. We're talking about the inception of federal holidays. Peter, I'm wondering if you could play the part of the 19th century guy for a moment. And what was the very first federal holiday, and why was it created? It happened in the 19th century.
Yeah. Well, there's Thanksgiving itself was not officially established until 1863 by President Lincoln. The great spate of holiday establishment was in the late 19th century, and that was with what we now call Memorial Day. When did Columbus Day come along anyway?
I believe
that's a real 20th century question, Peter.
Pick it up for us.
That wasn't until 1968, and it was part of a combo package.
That's right.
That's when they moved all those, let's call them lesser holidays, to Mondays, right? And so we moved Memorial Day and Veterans Day to Monday, and we also got Columbus Day.
Well, talk to me about Columbus Day, because somebody has to be behind pushing these holidays forward. And I came to understand in some light reading that FDR was heavily lobbied to make it a holiday by the Knights of Columbus. Tell me about the process of something going from idea to, you know, what kicks it over, what crosses over and pulls off a holiday?
Well, I think that you put your finger on one very important facet. That's lobbying. But usually people have to lobby for a long time. You know, you think about FDR being lobbied by the Knights of Columbus back during the New Deal in the 30s and the 40s. Well, we don't get it till 1968. A lot of African-American organizations lobbied for 15 years for Martin Luther King Day, as did others. And first they submitted 3 million signatures. That's a lot of people to sign a petition, pre-internet, by the way. And that didn't do it. So they came back with 6 million signatures. That almost did it. But you know who put them over the top, perhaps, is Stevie Wonder, who wrote a song called Happy Birthday.
Wow.
Very popular song. But he was talking about MLK in that song. So multimedia, grassroots lobbying, lobbying inside the halls of Stevie Wonder. It's not every day that Stevie Wonder signs up for your cause.
Well, so, Brian, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Columbus Day began with in the Roosevelt period, and it finally was established in 68. Could you get a Columbus Day through now? I mean, it seems to me the most vulnerable of the holidays.
It is. Not only could you not get it through now, I think you couldn't get it through now. It is in danger of slipping away.
It may be rescinded. There have been a number of people or organizations that have advocated for it to be replaced.
Let's face it. And if this angers you, send your email to Peter Onuf. Even the town of Columbus, Ohio, hasn't held their Columbus Day parade for a while. So, yeah, I'd say it's in a little trouble.
Yeah.
Do holidays matter as much as they used to?
Well, it's a heavy question. They matter to us, don't they? And to your listeners. I think there's a lot of mixed feelings about all holidays, of what the point is and whether they do focus our civic consciousness on important moments in our collective history. And I think that's the other side. I mean, we celebrate. We like to have occasions to get together and to affirm our American identity. But then what is that identity and what are we doing? And is this some kind of civil religion that we're practicing? And should we institutionalize it in this way? I think even Thanksgiving would be vulnerable now if you introduce this as a new holiday. I think there's a lot to be said for maintaining the old ways and the traditions. We are historians, after all, and let's maybe let all these sleeping holidays sleep and not mess with them. That's what I say.
How about for you, Brian?
Yeah, I would say they do matter in the middle. They do matter in the midterm. Those who are arguing for a holiday on 9/11 to take them seriously are primarily lobbying because they don't want people to forget. Mm. And for those of us who were well into adulthood when the planes hit, we're never going to forget. But for kids in elementary school today, they don't know what 9/11 is. They don't know what it's about. And so the best case for holidays is that they focus attention. And in fact, if they recur every year at the national level, given the kind of media saturation we have, you can count on thoughtful people like Peter talking about the history of such holidays at a minimum. They do help us remember. However, I think they have a limited shelf life. You measure it in decades, not in days or weeks. But after a while, they do become something that triggers mattress sales.
Brian and Peter, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter Onuf, Senior Research Fellow at Monticello and Professor Emeritus at the University of Virginia. He's author of many books, including The Mind of Thomas Jefferson. Brian Ballow is Professor of History at UVA. His most recent book is A Government Out of Sight: The Mystery of National Authority on 19th Century America. They represent two of the three American history guys from the popular podcast and radio show Backstory. You'll find a link to the podcast at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Up next, when it comes to remembering historic events, maybe you do just have to be there. Stay with us for a memorable visit to Gettysburg. That's when Word of Mouth continues after the break.